It's a show about women, for women, and empowering women. This is Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Hello there, everyone. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation here on 590 The Fan. And, of course, today we have someone again that's very exciting, but she's also very, very, very super smart. So listen to her every word. Today I have Barbara Archer here, the partner, managing director of Hightower St. Louis Wealth Advisors. You know, that kind of says it all. And we all want to be like Barbara. So let's begin. Barbara, thank you so much for being here today. I appreciate it, and give me every tidbit of knowledge you have.
Oh, Maureen, thank you so much for inviting me. It's a delight to be here. And I'm looking and lusting after those Saddleback chocolates that you have sitting there.
Oh, that's right, because we're drinking.
We are.
We haven't even started our chocolate experience yet. Well, these are all an assortment today of all different kinds of clusters, and then the caramels, and then, you know, we always have our Kismet, which is our CBD-infused chocolates, too. So that's always a nice
touch. After this, I get to try that. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. You need that. You need it all, kid, you know, because chocolate's the answer. As we say, chocolate's the answer no matter what the question. And it really does work that way, you know? So talk to me about you. That's a great outfit on you today, too.
You
should see her. She's in yellow. And I'm talking, it's like a spring-summer yellow that's just striking. You know, but I've never seen you not look perfect. Like, you've always just stepped right out off the runway. So thank you so much, and thanks for coming. Tell me about Barbara Archer. Who is Barbara Archer?
Barbara Archer. So how far back do you want to go?
All the way to the beginning, dear.
We start with
the beginning so that really our listeners know more about you than you ever thought they should.
Now, that's a scary thought. I'm from Finleyville, Pennsylvania.
Okay, tell me, where is what's the big city next to Finleyville?
15 miles southwest of Pittsburgh.
Okay.
So it's a small town. When I grew up, we had two stop signs, and I was related to the majority of the town, so I had to leave town so I could get a date. So there you go. Very small town.
Shoot. And did you leave in college or what?
Yes, I left for college. Most everyone worked either in the auto industry, the coal mining industry, or the steelworking industry. So pretty blue collar, wonderful place to grow up.
How is it now? I mean, considering, you know, the changes in the different industries, how they've changed, is Finleyville still successful? Is it still thriving?
Vibrant? I would say not as much.
Really?
But I haven't really spent much time there, so that's speaking from afar. My grandparents owned the grocery store. I had an uncle that owned a store next to them that did more produce. And then I had an aunt that had a dry cleaners. So I grew up my grandfather was a coal miner. My father was an auto worker. So I would say most everyone was hardworking, and even though they did work for either coal mines or the auto industry, they were still entrepreneurial. So I have a very entrepreneurial background.
So that's the spirit that I see in you all the time. Okay.
Well, it's fun. When I was about two or three in my grandparents' grocery store, I had on socks, white socks, and they would hold chocolate candy at the end of the aisle, and I could hit all of the tops of the cans and dust them on the way down the aisle, and they get rewarded with a piece of chocolate candy. So there you go. You're part of my history.
I am part of your history. That's great. So when did you realize that you were going to do a little bit more than being the grand duster of the grocery store?
Well, I think
that
at
was
an
when
early
you were four
age.
And you started your own business, or what?
Well, I couldn't wait to get tall enough to stand on a stool to manage the money at the cash register.
Oh, wow.
So there you go. I wanted to touch the money. And I always loved the idea of having some control. So to be perfectly honest, I never liked being a child.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted more control. I was a very small child, so people could pick me up, move me around, and tell me what to do. And I thought, someday I'm going to be big enough to do what I want to do. So that was kind of my goal in life, is to get the heck out of town and do what I wanted to do.
Now, did you have any siblings?
I do. I have an older brother that's a couple years older, a wonderful gentleman who is probably one of the most kind and generous people that you've ever met. He does so much for his community, and his wife, Kathy. So my brother, older brother is John. My younger brother, Rob, also very generous, has worked prolifically in the Cancer Society, and that's in Vero Beach, Florida, so far away. So I don't have siblings nearby. Mm-hmm. So when I came to St. Louis, I met my husband in night school getting our MBAs. I worked at General Motors. He worked at Monsanto.
Was that here in town?
No, it was in Dayton, Ohio. I went to the University of Dayton. Okay. And so we met in getting our MBAs at night, and we got married and moved here.
So is he from Ohio?
No, he's a Louisville boy.
Oh, and you say it so well. It just rolls.
Louisville. Well, yeah. You talk horses, and
you
got
to be able to speak Louisville.
Louisville.
That's right. So he's a Louisville guy, and so you met at University of Dayton.
Right.
It's funny because actually one of the Mannion girls, Meredith, was at Dayton, and
she must be wonderful.
She's a really neat girl. She's a really, really neat girl.
So. You didn't ask me where I went to high school.
No, I know. Well, you know, it's funny too. That's such a St. Louis thing.
It is.
Obviously, you were in Finleyville, right?
Well, I was, but I went to Monongahela Valley Catholic High School.
Oh my God! Say that again, fast.
Monongahela Valley Catholic High School, and when you could spell it, I think you could graduate. So it was, and that's how I know when people say Monongahela incorrectly, I know they're not natives. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
Monongahela Valley Catholic High School.
You've got it.
Wow. Was that
You're
a girls' school or was it
no,
co-ed?
No, it was co-ed.
It was co-ed.
Yes. Okay. It's no longer in existence.
Yeah.
I mean, when the coal mines and the steel mills left, then pretty much the school shut down.
Yeah. I did. I was at Altoff Catholic over in Belleville.
Well, there you go.
And it's funny because it was also co-ed. And I will tell you, it's now Mike Moore. Is all of his classmates are all turning 70 this year. And so
that can't be. Tell me it's not.
I know. Isn't it wild? It's wild. And they're having their. So the girls from Notre Dame High School, which was the girls' school, and the boys were the Altoff, which was the boys' school, which became then integrated in, you know, with the boys and the girls in co-ed. They're all having like this big event on Saturday night where it's going to be. They're all going to celebrate their 70th birthdays together.
Oh, that's exciting.
Because they're all having their 70th birthday this year. So Mike just said to me, he said, you know, do you think you should, you know, are you going? He goes, I RSVP'd for two of us. I said, well, it depends on how many of them am I going to know? Because I know a lot of them, but I'm 11 years younger, you know, so.
You know, well, lucky you.
Lucky me. You know, but in the early days, it was great because I'd go and I'd be the young wife, you know. And now a lot of them have, like, their second wives, their trophy wives. So I'm not the young wife
anymore.
Well,
Mike was lucky to marry his trophy wife.
Oh, thanks.
So there you
thanks.
Go.
Well, it's just funny because when I think of that now, they don't have that girls' school anymore. They don't have that all-boys school anymore.
See?
You know, and there was something really special about having the all-girls schools and the all-boys schools. You know, it really was. Except when I was going to school, I couldn't wait for that all-girls school to shut down because I didn't want to go there. I wanted to go to school, and I wanted to be able to compete against the boys and be in the school with the boys, you know. So it's funny how things change. You know, but now, so then tell me this. Okay, so you left Finleyville after you graduated because you could spell
Monongahela
Valley. Mm-hmm. How do you spell that?
Monongahela.
Wow.
So try and do that in a cheer.
Were you a cheerleader too?
Of course.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, there was only football and cheerleading, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm from the Pittsburgh area,
oh, yeah,
and you grew up, and you see me in yellow. Well, that's kind of a Steeler color,
yeah.
Black belt. So, you know,
jeez.
Home roots.
Oh, yeah. Well, so then when you left there, how did you pick University of Dayton?
I actually had an uncle that was a Marianist brother.
Okay.
And so I looked at coming from a relatively modest background, I had two choices. And that was either Penn State State School or a Marianist College, which was the University of Dayton. And whoever gave me the most money, that's where I'd go.
Okay.
So University of Dayton gave me more money, scholarships and grants. And I worked full-time undergraduate. And
doing
full-time.
What?
I worked undergraduate as a unit clerk receptionist. So I transcribed doctor's orders and checked people in on floors and worked on terminally ill floors, medical floors.
God, love you. That's a hell of a lot of responsibility.
It was back then because we could deliver narcotics back then. Remember, it was a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
And then I became a chemist in the lab because my bachelor's is in medical technology. So clinical chemistry, hematology, microbiology. So a little different analytical background.
Yeah.
And then when I graduated, I was told I was going to make 25 cents more an hour than my part-time, full-time job. And I became a little hysterical.
Uh-huh.
And the dean of the school offered me the introduction to an interview at General Motors. So when I interviewed at General Motors, they were looking for a chemical engineer. Of course they were. They were all men. And I went in for the interview. Uh-huh. I sat down and he said, "I'm sorry, we want a chemical engineer." And I said, "I understand that, but I've run a chemistry lab, so may I see the lab?" And so he took me on a tour of the lab. We sat down. I took his notepad and I wrote down the 10 things they were doing inaccurately, handed it back to him and said, "When you want someone to actually run the lab, as opposed to a chemical engineer that's good in theory, then you can hire me."
Wow. Talk about a brazen woman back then.
Well,
I mean,
when you have school loans.
You were confident.
No, I worked out of fear at that time
because
I had nothing to lose.
How did he handle it? How did he handle it? Was he taken aback or did he say, "Okay, wait a second, let's check this gal out a little bit more"?
Well, I think he felt I could hold my own. I mean, I'd been in coal mines. I'd been to my father's plant with blue-collar workers. I have only brothers, and the majority of my cousins are men. And so I was always very comfortable around men. Little did I know when I was offered the job on the third shift in the
third
plant.
Third shift is what? That's like 3 to 11?
No, it's like 11
overnight.
To 7.
Okay, it's the 11 to 7. Yeah.
Little did I know that there was not even a woman's restroom in the building because there were no women. So why have a women's restroom? And the first day I walked in, I was 21 years old, and there was a heat treating area to my left when I walked in. So the men have on no shirts and they're quenching ball joints and there's steam rising. And I love the smell of the place. It just smells like a factory. It was gorgeous and productive. And it was really exciting. You could see everything moving and I loved it. But the catcalls and the comments as I'm walking through to go to my lab upstairs was not the least of all to say intimidating. So the next night I come in and I'm thinking every night I have to walk through this plant and I'm going to get these comments.
Yeah.
So it was nice to just stop, look at everyone, as many eyes as I could get and say, "Look, 4 years in college, I never got this much attention. Let's hear it now. I want it now louder. My name is Barbara, not chick, not all these other terms you might have heard. But please, louder. More attention.
Go for it, guys.
Yeah, this is it. You're going to see me every night. This is not going to change."
Did that just throw them back on their heels?
Yes, it was hysterical. I had more friends after that. I had a ride. It was wonderful. It was the most exhilarating experience to have people that I cared about and having them be successful and them looking out for me. Because obviously I couldn't use the women's restroom, so I had to get the largest, most fearful guy out in front to keep anyone from coming in. And so we had this term, which I didn't truly understand because I just started, and it was called the hardcore unemployed. I thought that meant they either drank on the job or they lost their jobs or a lot and they couldn't find work. And it wasn't until I called HR and I said, "Can you explain why I have several hardcore unemployed?" And they said, "Oh, yeah, that means they serve time."
Really?
And I said, "You mean time in prison?" And they said, "Oh, yeah." And I said, "So could you tell me about this particular person?" And they weren't allowed to really tell me. They said, "You can ask him." And so he did serve time in the penitentiary for murder, but he promised me that it was because it was the guy deserved it and he would never harm me. So he was wonderful.
And he was your guy that stood?
Yes, he stood outside the men's room so I could use it.
Gosh.
It was great fun.
Talk about hardcore. Oh,
so
my
that was
goodness.
Great. And then I was promoted to a reliability engineer. So I took metallurgy courses, some other engineering courses that weren't available to me in the girls' part of getting a medical technology degree. And then they offered to pay for my MBA, which I did at night. And I worked on a Corvette. It's called a Steel Leaf Spring. This was a big project, which is how the first time I came to St. Louis, because it was on a Corvette. So we went from a 70-pound steel leaf spring to a 7-pound fiberglass epoxy resin spring leaf. And I could hold the 7-pound one and not the 70-pound
one. What is a spring leaf?
It's what goes underneath the car to keep it, it's
stable?
Keeps it buoyant. Okay. You know, so it's the spring that you feel, think of shock absorbers.
Okay.
So it's that kind of feel.
When you're so low to the ground in a Corvette, too, you know, it just seems like you'd have to have something that really could.
Oh, it's very stable.
Yeah, that could take that, you know.
Well,
stable.
My husband had a 280Z, and I had a Corvette when we were dating. And from school, he could see only my lights because it really did just dust him. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, Corvettes rule.
Kathy Schmidt Federico would really appreciate that.
There you go, Kathy Schmidt Federico.
Kathy would appreciate that. Yes, she would definitely appreciate that because, I mean, and they have so many Corvettes. I mean, they're one of the pick of the pride of, you know, Corvettes when you go over to the Jack Schmidt Chevrolet.
Oh, know? That's fun.
So that is something. Let's leave that there. Let's go ahead and break. And actually, we owe Saddleback Chocolates is creating chocolates for Jack Schmidt Chevrolet as well.
Oh, wonderful.
We do that for
good
all
for
their.
You.
Yeah, so it's always nice. So I was just thinking about that. I know that they just put in another order. So anyway, we will be back in a moment. This is Maureen Moore with Saddleback. Gosh, well, I am with Saddleback, but this is Cocktails and Conversation. And I'm here today with Barbara Archer. So we'll be right back.
And you can hear the cocktails.
Yes, and we're having a drink. Thank you. So raise your glass.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
So we are back. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation here on KFNS 590 The Fan. You know, you can catch us anytime on the internet on our website and catch our podcasts. So it's always nice as you're working out or just getting on the, you know, getting on the treadmill or just laying at the pool and you want to catch one of our episodes. Today we have Barbara Archer. Barbara Archer is the partner and managing director of Hightower St. Louis Wealth Advisors. And I have to tell you, this is very interesting. This first segment is beyond what I ever imagined because Barbara's not just like super, super, super smart and knows how to make money, but she's the chemist too and the scientist. So this is very cool. So Barbara, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So tell me, okay, so you're at GM.
Yes.
And let's
the Inland Division.
Okay.
So I left there when I got married to Steve.
Okay.
And we moved
what
to
year
St.
was
West.
That?
That was 1980.
1980. Okay, good.
So I did mention he's from Louisville, so I was 12. And then, you know, I'm just trying to maintain that youth. So we did move to St. Louis, and I began working for Ralston Purina.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. Now, was Bill Stieritz there then?
Yes, he was.
He was, okay.
He was there. And actually, Hal Dean was there.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked in the protein technologies area, so it was industrial chemistry.
Okay.
And from my head, so it was industrial marketing, isolated soy protein. So it was fun for me to go into an area that was still scientific, a little bit analytical. I'm one of those people that can do regression analysis with a slide rule if I can still see the hatch marks given, you know, as our eyes age. And it was a fascinating time. I spent a little over a year in isolated soy protein and then found out that the cool place to be for me would have been consumer marketing. So I transferred over, which was kind of, I was a pioneer in moving between divisions, and I moved over to Cat Chow.
Now, was Camille Emig there? Did you remember Camille Emig? She was at Ralston before she went to Anheuser-Busch.
And what do you know what year that was?
It would have been communications, but I can't tell you what year. But it would have been in the early 80s.
Okay.
So that's why I was just kind of wondering.
I've got to go back and think. Yeah. I was marketing in Cat Chow. Probably the only thing, I did two things of interest there. One was there were a lot of processes that were in place that seemed redundant. And so I made some changes with little notes on reports saying, if no one's reading these, I'm not producing them again.
So did you catch anybody that actually did read it?
No. So
really?
We went from like 7 reports down to 3. Okay. Only 3 of them people actually read. And then we had a change in the Cat Chow mission to a nutritional brand. So a healthier nutritional brand, except that I thought the positioning was a little different. So I made a comment. I don't know if you remember back then, there was Chow Chow Chow.
Right.
Patsy. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. And so she had on...
She did her little dance all the time.
Yes, in her sandals. And I said, I'm sorry, why would I understand this woman to be a person vested in the nutrition of her cat unless she looked athletic or interested in herself? And so we fired Patsy. Thank you to me. And we went to...
Patsy, do you hear that?
Yeah,
this was
I'm
all
sorry.
Because of Barbara Archer.
I take it. I have broad shoulders. And we went to seeing tennis shoes and socks. You know, back then it was...
Right.
You know, so it was really always thinking about, I think, the end user, the client, the consumer, the person who matters most in our lives, in a business, just like you do. You ask questions about what an individual's needs are.
Right.
And so as I worked in consumer marketing, my husband and I in 1980 hired a financial planner. And after a few meetings, I realized that I probably had more analytical skills and interest and education in finance than the young man that we had hired.
So just because he'd passed the Series 7 didn't really mean that he knew anything more than whatever the home office was telling him to sell.
Nailed it, didn't you?
Yeah.
So I decided that I could build a business based on the end consumer's needs. So, for example, I looked at Steve and me, two working people in a family. So we were busy. How could I work with those individuals and be able to assist them in their lives? Not just investments, because that's where people usually go. So back in the 80s, and this is 1983, you either could have, and people had attorneys and CPAs,
right.
And then they had an insurance agent and maybe a stockbroker. And my vision at the time was to encompass and have a team of the right people to serve those needs. Because in my experience, I was so busy. My husband and I were traveling. People needed someone to really look out for them. And so that's how we founded the more financial planning idea, the culture, and the team that I'm with now. So not only do we, yes, we are concerned about investments, but I couldn't do this for 36 years unless we were very good with the investment part. But it was also taking a look.
Yeah.
You think that?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, so we're really as interested in the individual.
Okay.
And the individual and their families. So what is it at the end of our lives, what really matters? I can remember at 40 that I had a change of mind. I mean, there were things that we were striving for, weren't we, when we were younger? Things we wanted to give our kids private schools or maybe buy a bigger house or a new car. So it's stuff. But at 40, I woke up one morning and realized if I had to walk it, insure it, or dust it, I no longer wanted it.
Wow. And you did that at 40. See, it didn't hit me till 50.
Well, and everyone has their own time.
Yeah.
But that's when you, everyone has a moment in their lives when they think, what's important to me?
Right.
And it's where I realized then, which many of the happiness books now you read, there were two things that were important in my life. One was the relationships with my family and my friends. And the other ones were the experiences. And the experiences oftentimes included my family and my friends.
Right.
So those are the things that I realized gave me great joy. And then as I matured and became more successful and had more that I could, I've always been involved in charities, but it's interesting to understand instead of doing retirement planning, we spend more time doing what I call legacy planning. Because we can decide when we have enough or how much is enough. Every person growing up with nothing, we had enough.
Right.
We had nothing.
Yeah.
I had nothing.
And you still managed.
And I had a wonderful life.
Mm-hmm.
I lived behind our Black Baptist church next to the cinder block community center, had the most wonderful growing up life. I didn't know we were poor. I had a young friend who, in fact, three of my girlfriends I grew up with are coming in the next few weeks to our lake house at Innsbrook.
Uh-huh.
But I can remember my girlfriend, Cindy. Cindy, if you listen to this, sorry. She asked me if I had to make my bed every morning because she was so angry at her mother.
Because she had to make her bed every morning?
Every day. And I looked at her and I said, well, yes.
Yeah.
And she said, you do? And I said, I have to fold up the couch because you can't open the front door unless I fold it. I grew up in a one-bedroom house. So my bed was the pull-out couch.
Uh-huh.
I had to make my bed.
Yeah.
Or no
yeah.
one could get in or out.
So did Mary Tyler Moore, though.
Well, there you go.
See? You know,
see?
All those years that Mary Tyler Moore was, you know, right there at WGN or whatever, or WJM, whatever that station was,
right.
She had to still make up her bed every day before she could leave and go to work so people could sit on her couch.
It didn't hurt us at all, did
Not
it?
Not at all.
There you go.
Yeah.
Except mine was real.
Yeah. Hers. Yeah. Yeah. Hers, I think she still went
she got
home
paid
to a different
for that.
Bed. Yeah, she went home to a different bed at night. Yeah. But you're right. You know, I mean, and see, and it's funny because you say that, and I think, I remember some friends that had pull out like couches, you know,
sure.
at their house, you know, and we think that is like so cool that
well,
they had.
We have
one,
always
you know?
Had a pull out couch
yeah.
since then.
Yeah.
I mean, every home we've had.
Well, every condo we stay in whenever we're, you know, whenever we're traveling, it always seems like they have one. And I think that's where our kids will go. You know, that's where they can. I don't
Well, they are more
bedroom.
Comfortable now. My
yeah,
daughter's moving mm-hmm. to Miami and she is buying a pull out couch. So there
yeah.
you go. When your friends visit.
Tell me about daughter. Okay,
yes.
So what do we've got?
I have
how many
a son
kids?
And a daughter.
That's right.
I have a son that's here in St. Louis, Ryan.
Okay.
It's RyanRArcher.com. He's
okay.
a professional photographer.
Is he?
He is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wonderful.
Does he do food
creative.
Photography at all, or does he do all strictly people?
Well, it's primarily he started with architectural photography.
Okay.
He went to Purdue, film studies
okay.
and photography. So he's a professional. He's wonderful. He can do anything. He
really?
Is so creative. He has the eye that you cannot believe.
Really?
He went to Priory and did photography there for his mm-hmm. thesis. And the young man is amazing and kind and adorable. And I'm very fortunate to have
and
a son
how old
like
is
that.
He?
He's 33 and single out there. I'm
really?
Just saying.
Ladies, 33 and single. 33
so,
and single.
Lovely young man.
Okay.
And then my daughter just graduated from Stanford with her MBA. And
wow.
she's moving to Miami to do private equity again. She's
okay.
a deal maker.
Huh.
So she's
yeah,
been
she
an M&A.
Too far from the tree,
well,
huh?
she's so I've got children, one on each side, you know,
mm-hmm.
the brain there. So she's more the analytic and he's more the creative. So I'm very lucky to have such a diversified family.
And she got her MBA as well as her undergrad at Stanford.
No, her undergrad, which she says was the best undergrad she could have
uh-huh.
ever received was at the Kelley Business School at Indiana University.
Oh, you know what? I hear more people that, you know, and I think actually one of the O'Loughlin kids might be at the Kelley School of Business. I'm not sure. I'm trying
well,
to think. There's a few different people I know that
have
kids there.
Now, think of this. Here I am, and I'm from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And my son goes to Purdue. I'm sitting in the car going to look at yet another Indiana
mm-hmm.
University.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of grumping up front saying, I can't believe my kids are both going,
going to Indiana
schools.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no tie to Indiana.
Yeah.
We drive up and I see the school and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is gorgeous. And then we speak to the dean and we go on the tour and I'm just
mm-hmm.
so impressed with the caliber of the education and the talent.
Oh, yeah.
And I will say my daughter was, her degrees are in, undergrad degrees are in finance, accounting, international business, and something, well, a minor in economics and
uh-huh.
Spanish. So she was very
kind
well
of over-excelled, didn't she?
Well, visitation girls. I do now
this
have a
good
preference for girls' educations.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I didn't understand that before. I always thought co-ed would be better. She was in co-ed before she went to Viz, but I do see where all of her friends, and she had several friends visiting her this weekend, and I mean, these girls, no one told them they can't do anything they wanted to do. Right. So they are doctors and lawyers and pharmacists and ballet dancers and opera singers.
And the power of women.
Oh,
you know,
my gosh. I love them.
May we know them. May we be them. May we raise them.
Absolutely.
And may we
support them.
Yes, that's exactly it. Because women really, you know, my mom was a day trader in the 80s.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I'd known her.
She was a day trader, you know, and we were brought up. My dad died when I was 7, unexpectedly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Massive heart attack in the middle of the night. And my mom, you know, kind of woke up the next day going, I've got two little girls, a 7-year-old and an 11-year-old. My mom would always say, you know, I was actually a single mother. I used to just think of myself as a widow, but I was a single mother.
Absolutely.
You know? But she
a strong single mother.
She was. And she made a deal with our Monsignor that she could build her mailbox right next to his so that we could have the Barons and we could have the Wall Street Journal delivered in the morning instead of where we were in the neighborhood. We would get our mail in the afternoon. She said, it's too late. And so Monsignor got his mail first in the morning. So she would drive up in her robe and then head to Neward Cook to sit at the brokerage at the stock, you know, the stock market every day.
A woman with a vision.
She did.
And she
was great. And we'd have BLTs one night and we'd have steak the next, depending on what happened in the market. You know, I mean, it was funny. You know, I mean, I think we were probably the first to have a water pick because Teledyne was making water picks.
Oh, I love that story.
And she'd say, you know, and so we just knew, and she'd buy based on dividends. I mean, you know, I bought my first car thanks to Lee Iacocca. I bought my first car on my Chrysler stock.
Oh.
And that's how I got my first convertible.
And you got a Chrysler.
Of course. I got a Chrysler convertible. A LeBaron convertible. White one with the maroon leather interior, you know.
Oh, and you go, girl.
Yeah. And it was great. But, I mean, but we understood. And, like, our kids now understand. It's, you know, I mean, you know, they get stock. They get, you know, they get investments, you know. But then they're always ready to spend them. I'm like, no. I am custodial of everything. You can't touch any. So everything is set up as I'm custodial. So Kyle the other day said, Mom, it's my money. I go, it is your money. And I will argue with you every day on that it's your money. But if I don't protect you from yourself, you won't have that money later, you know. And so he's like, oh, I can't believe it. It's like, nope, don't worry about it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We're doing that now as far as generational planning with our clients.
Good.
So we do. We bring them into the office and we do the education. Mm-hmm. We'll even explain their estate planning of the parents so that they understand if they inherit something in trust, we want to leave it in trust. Do not take the money out and put it in a joint account.
Right.
And they say, well, why not? And I said, if you want to take money out and do a family vacation or buy the family a new station wagon or SUV, that's different than leaving it in trust because now you have asset protection.
Mm-hmm.
So the importance of understanding how and why things are constructed for the care of the family is a very, very important mission for our team.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned women and being single parents.
Right.
And I am still looking for those, if there are any women out there that want to be in the finance industry, do get in touch with me. We have several wonderful women in our team, and I have to tell you, the guys are amazing, and they're married to amazing women, and I consider those wives part of our team.
Right.
But also women wealth advisors, because it's tough to find them. My daughter even just told me that less than half of women in graduate schools getting MBAs are in finance. And in fact, she said out of her graduating class of about 400 students, there were only about 10 or 12 that were in finance.
Really?
I'm horrified.
That is horrible. My God.
It might have been 10 or 12%, but still not enough. We need lots more.
And I would bet you in this day and age, at least 60 or 70% of the women in households handle the money.
Oh, well, we like to think 100% of us
do. You
do. Even if it's surreptitiously.
Yeah.
Or
Well, and on that note, we will actually break for a little bit of sponsorship and support. I know McDonald's is, you know, we're doing a lot with McDonald's right now, so we'll probably be hearing from McDonald's. But we will be back in a few minutes, and this is Maureen Moore here on Cocktails and Conversation. We're having our cocktails today with Barbara Archer. She's the partner and managing director of Hightower St. Louis, Wealth Advisors. So we'll be back. Thanks.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And this is Maureen Moore. I'm back here on 590 The Fan, Cocktails and Conversation. I have to say, my cocktail, it was a 19-hole Arnold Palmer with gin, and it was very good, but it's gone. Barbara, you're doing pretty good with yours.
Pacing myself.
You're pacing yourself. Mine, I kind of slugged down today. But this is Cocktails and Conversation here with Maureen Moore. And, you know, we always say, strong women, and boy, oh boy, do I have one today. It's strong women. May we know them. May we be them. May we raise them, which obviously you have, Barbara, and may we praise them. And, you know, that's one of the things, the culture of today compared to, gosh, 30 years ago. And, you know, and even everything you did starting at University of Dayton and kind of going in, you know, going into a field that was so, it certainly wasn't crowded with women. Let's put it that way.
No.
And where you've ended up today here at Hightower. But it is. It's Barbara Archer here today, the partner and managing director of Hightower St. Louis Wealth Advisors. So let's bring you back on the air and talk a little bit more about the culture of things.
Thank you, Maureen.
Sure.
We had an interesting interim conversation at the break.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I realized as we were talking about this is the past and the present. So when we think about women and the strengths that all women have, I can just go back and reflect on my, I was actually with Hightower, a merger of Carol Rogers, my partner, a woman-founded business, and my woman-founded business. And the beauty of why we joined Hightower was because of the culture primarily. It was client-oriented. It's a fiduciary. We care about people. And as women, I think part of that may be somewhat natural. We ask different questions. We care in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
So as I look back, and especially having had women and have women working with me, when I think back to having my son 33 years ago, it was I am a good tax planner. He was born on December 31st. I'm
no
clarifying.
Stinking way,
yes,
really?
Yes, my doctor said he was mentally induced.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So I did get him in before year end, got that whole deduction. But I can remember I had him at 9:29 in the morning, and by 11 o'clock, I was on the phone with the office. And I can remember kicking my daughter's little seat under the desk because back then, we didn't have the support systems, the family leave, the maternity leave, the ability, well, and especially if you're a business owner, those are all self-provided anyway.
Right, yeah, so it didn't matter you were doing
it. Didn't matter, I was going to work.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look back and you think about the progress that we've made and how wonderful that we can offer that to our younger families and some flexibility and for the fathers as well to be a part of the family. I was just reflecting this morning on some leadership papers that I've read recently and about the importance of making people individually important and to matter. So if we didn't know our employees as people and they were only delivering the skill sets that they had, number one, I wouldn't be as fulfilled. Number two, I don't believe they would be as fulfilled. So that culture of fulfillment in the ability to appreciate each other, to have fun, to know that we're looking out for their best interests, allows them to look out for our business's best interests. And so trying to understand how we can continually reward people, and not just monetarily. Oftentimes, think about us even growing up. How many times did you get atta girls when you would go, oh my gosh, you know, I feel so honored. Now I'm a Barron's advisor, a Forbes advisor, a Forbes women advisor, all these wonderful accolades that would have meant they're meaningful and lovely now. But 20 years ago,
it would have been outstanding. It would have been out of this world
that
anybody even recognized that you existed, let alone that you actually had a brain.
Or if
and
there
could
was
do
a,
this.
If there was a women's acknowledgement then
exactly.
anyway.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think it's important that we all uplift each other. You mentioned mm-hmm. raise and praise. I think with our entire teams, we need to come together more and find out what is it that drives an individual person. Sometimes it might be a day off. Other times mm-hmm. it could be having a group event where they get to participate. We had recently a team building session on looking at our mission, vision, our values, and just the conversation. Forget the end result. It was mm-hmm. lovely. But it was the ability to spend time together. We did it at the zoo. And obviously, being at the St. Louis Zoo is a wonderful experience to begin with. But to have that shared experience mm-hmm. is meaningful. And it gives us stories and understandings of each other that without that, I can tell you, I wake up every morning and jump out of bed and can't wait to get to work because I have so much fun. I love the people I work with.
God,
they're the most
awesome.
Wonderful people. I'm so fortunate. I said to Carol once, I said, it's like we handpicked them. And she looks at me and she goes, we did.
And
I'm like,
we did. We did. And how many folks do you have working
there
with you and Carol?
There are 12 of us all
There's
together.
There's 12 of you. And
yes.
Where's your office?
We are at 1401 South Brentwood.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on the fifth floor. And anyone can come visit. We have a beautiful office that Carol and I put together. Now, here's uh-huh. a story. You think about anytime you take on any endeavor,
mm-hmm.
if you only look inward, it's all about what you can gain. If you look outward, you find wonderful ways to share your community. So when Carol and I looked, this was a Phoenix University space that had never
okay.
been used.
Okay.
We walked in. There were fabulous desks, chairs,
mm-hmm.
whiteboards, carpeting, all brand new.
That they had never used.
It was brand new. Carol and I look at each other and we say, this is a wonderful space if we could gut it and redo
uh-huh.
it.
Yeah.
And so we negotiated with the landlord. Because,
mm-hmm.
of course, you ask, what do you do with all this stuff? Well, they just get rid of it. So we took all of those tables and chairs, this wonderful education facility,
mm-hmm.
and donated it to Marion Middle School. So that's
really?
Their technology and science
oh,
area. Yes, isn't that
gosh,
fun?
That is great.
But unless you're thinking forward to someone right. else, you miss those opportunities.
Right.
We took up this carpeting that was very bright orange, yellow,
mm-hmm.
green,
mm-hmm.
and
which
you're
is
red, and you're saying, what do you do with this?
Uh-huh.
Well, we bundled that up, and that's now in the COCA offices.
Oh, my God.
So,
Pam Mandelker had to love that. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Pam and Kelly Pollack.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
And Virginia Howe.
They've all been on the show here.
Oh, yeah. I love them.
Yes,
they've
been on the show.
They're some of my good friends.
So, okay, so you went to Marion Middle School with that. Who's running that now? Is that still Mary Elizabeth?
Absolutely.
So it's still Mary Elizabeth Grimes.
Mary Elizabeth
Grimes,
yes.
She is wonderful.
Job.
Yeah, she's been a friend for years.
Yes, she has. And I believe she's also worked with Jackie.
Yeah,
well, it was
during,
in the past.
That's exactly right. And that was during, it was probably after Mary Elizabeth was at the St. Louis Sports Commission. And then Jackie had Elite International, I forget what the what it was. It was Elite International something. They were up on the top floor of what's the Peabody building. That's where they were. They were
oh,
there. It was
wonderful.
The Gateway building when Mike Moore was with the CBA in that building.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Jackie spoke to the Focus Leadership St. Louis
okay.
class. That Mary Elizabeth Grimes and I were together in.
Oh,
so small world, isn't it?
And, you know, it's funny because with Focus, I was in, I was at St. Louis U as the director of major gifts. That was when we were building Shea-Fitz.
Oh, my gosh.
When
yes.
I was in the Focus class, and I had to quit the class.
Oh, no.
I had to quit the class. I felt so bad. But, you know, we had 19 months to raise the money for Shea-Fitz Arena. And I had some major donors at different times that were coming in. And it would be on those weekends when we had a focus
sure.
weekend.
You had to be available.
Like, and I'm like, shoot, this is my job. I can't, you know, I can't not do you know, what I'm supposed to do and what I'm paid to do for St. Louis University. And so finally I said, I hate it, but I have to bow out of the class. And somebody else that wanted to be in the class that I kind of, I guess, knocked out of the class. It's like, really? Here you are, and now you're not even doing it? I'm like, I can't. I've got to fulfill my duties as, you know, as director of major gifts. And that was more important, you know. I mean, and we had to do it. So, and I never did get the opportunity and the time to go back into it again. But Focus was always a great group.
Well, fundraising is important. So
it is.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, it is. And so now I look at that and people say they graduated in 2010. It's like, oh, good. You went through Chaffetz. You actually graduated out of Chaffetz. I graduated from St. Louis U out of the Checkerdome.
Oh,
the
Ralston I remember Peoria that. Checkerdome. Oh, sure.
That's
great
where
fun.
We were. Yes, that's exactly right. So when did you leave Ralston and then decide?
Well, I started my practice in August of 1983.
Okay.
And so, gosh, it's hard
you
to believe.
You are a 36 pioneer.
6 years now.
You are a pioneer.
It was so terrifying and fun.
I was going to say, what a leap, you know? I mean, and Steve was great with that.
Oh, my gosh. I am so fortunate to be married to probably the most understanding, supportive gentleman in the world.
Oh, I thought that was me.
Oh,
I thought
no,
I was married
Mike?
To Mike Moore and that he was the most understanding and supportive husband.
Well, isn't that why we get to sit here and have
maybe
these cocktails and conversations
today? Maybe that's it, because we have wonderful husbands. I'm keeping mine, I know.
Yes, yeah. And mine. 39 years this year. So.
Gosh, yeah, that's
special
great.
Special guy.
Good for you.
And
now, you guys have a place out in Innsbruck, too, don't you?
We do, yes.
Do you get out there very often?
Every weekend that we can.
Do you really?
I
good
do.
For you.
And now that I have such a strong team, I'm doing my research and work on mm-hmm. Fridays out there, so
okay.
I get to look out and see eagles and trumpeter swans
uh-huh.
and bluebirds and all sorts of wonderful things depending upon the season. So it's fabulous.
That's a great development out there. You
well,
know, I mean, and there was a lot of foresight and a lot of vision there.
Yep. And Ed Boyce, we still honor him.
Yes,
so,
good.
You
good
know,
deal.
In memorial.
God rest his soul.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Gosh darn. See, and you know what? And the nice thing is this time of year, it's nice to just get away and be able to cut out on a Friday.
Absolutely. You're going to come out and visit me?
I will.
Okay.
You invite me, I'll come
Absolutely.
Out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You and Mike need to come out.
We
Steve
would love
did
it.
This beautiful
mm-hmm.
home. We just moved into it in mm-hmm. October. We've been out there for over 20 years, but we've had multiple properties. And so I credit Steve Archer with being the designer, builder, architect.
Yeah. That's great.
Just great guy to make our lives easier.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of what Mike Moore's doing right now, too. You know what I mean? And we have to put a whole new deck on the back of our house.
Oh, no. That's
yeah.
too much work.
Well,
now, but does he know? Is he going to hire someone?
Oh, he's hiring.
Okay, good.
But it's interesting, the bidding process. And
oh,
it's
yes.
interesting, you know, that the bids can come in $20,000, $25,000 difference for the same.
It's a frightening thought, isn't it?
And I'm thinking, what do people do? They kind of look at us and go, oh, well, you've got horses. So, you know, you've got a pool, you got horses. Well, you must, you know, we might just throw you any number and it's going to be fine. And I'm thinking, no, you don't get it, you know. And all I know is the big thing Mike wants to do is have it be that there's no maintenance.
If you have stairs in your home,
mm-hmm.
you typically will stay home a minimum of 3 years longer because you're still utilizing, other than going to a
really?
Retirement community. Right, because you're using larger muscles. And you get that extra workout
mm-hmm.
in there. So it's kind of an interesting fact. So maybe having three stories is a good idea.
It's a good thing. I used to say to Mike when we built the house, you know, he's like, do you think we need all these stairs? I go, look at your Aunt Winnie and Uncle Bud. They had all those stairs, and she'd fly up those stairs in South St. Louis like nothing, you know.
See, there you go.
And I'd say, this is good for them. It'll be good for us, you know.
Absolutely.
But it's nice for the entertaining that I'm not carrying trays of food,
yes.
you know, because I do tend to look at the stairs. You know, remember when we were kids and you would go just glide downstairs and you wouldn't think twice? Now I hold on. This is the Greg Boyce Peabody Energy safety issue. You know, you always hold on to a staircase. You know, you're always, you know, always thinking about safety first. So
well,
I'm always
wait a
holding
minute.
On.
It's also looking down with bifocals. Let's not.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I had those bifocals and I said to my ophthalmologist, I said, I feel like I'm drunk. I can't believe it. I can't see a thing. Everything's waving. I said, I'm just going to wear my cheaters until I can't see out of them anymore. And that's what I did, you know?
Oh.
I got to tell you, this has been so enjoyable and so informative. But better than that, it's just like I finally got to learn so much more about you. And I appreciate that, Barbara.
Well, thank you for asking and thank you for sharing your time today.
Absolutely.
I enjoyed it very much.
Now, how can somebody reach you? Could we put something on our website so that people could reach out to
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely.
Because I don't know that you just take every client, but you probably are. You'll still talk to clients
we
and possible
talk to
new
people.
Clients.
We want to be able to help those that really are invested in their futures. So
okay.
it would be HightowerSTL.com.
HightowerSTL.com.
And the phone number is 314-598-4000. 4060.
598-4060.
You've got it.
And, you know, the nice thing is people don't understand. I mean, you know, you'll talk to them. You'll look at things. You'll figure things out. And it's not like they have to come in and pay you a big price or anything. You'll do it as a courtesy. Am I right?
Just to come in and visit with us to see if we're a good fit. Remember we talked about culture? Let's see if we like each other, if we can help you and make a difference in your life and the lives of your family and your children and grandchildren.
And it's not just about, you know, making more money. Of course, that is the nice side benefit of it.
It is.
You know, it's a nice side benefit that you will create a wealth program that actually does make their money grow.
Absolutely.
And gives them the opportunities for what they're looking for in the future.
And not only for their families, but their communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that is, and I know you are very philanthropic, and you do take that to heart, and you do bring that. What is your greatest charity right now that you're working with?
Oh, gosh, that's tough.
This is going to be
a tough
one. It's
going to be between the St. Louis Zoo and COCA.
Okay. Two of my loves.
Yes, I just have to say both of them
right.
Do take up some of my time, and I love them both.
And you're on the board with Kathy Federico at the zoo.
At the zoo.
She just sent us the other day, they were down at the Lake of the Ozarks, and she just sent all of us the date for, what is it? Is it Zooadoo for next year? I think it's Zooadoo. She's like,
Zooadoo,
okay.
Yep, we just had Zoofari.
Yeah, so she said, date's Zooadoo. Out for Zooadoo. So it's like, we all got it on our calendars.
Absolutely.
You know? And
those interested in the health arena, the Mercy Health Foundation, it's amazing what they do in our community.
Oh, gosh, you're right.
I'm learning more and more about that and have such respect for the changes they're making.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Brian Burns is a friend of ours.
Oh, wonderful.
And he's in the Mercy system. So, yeah, you can't go wrong with Mercy. Yeah, this is great. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Maureen Moore here on Cocktails and Conversation. 590 The Fan. You can hear us on Saturdays, 2 to 3, with also a replay at 7 a.m. on Sunday mornings when you want to get up and just sit outside and have a cup of coffee and listen. We were fortunate today to have Barbara Archer. Barbara is a partner and managing director of Hightower St. Louis Wealth Advisors. Please give her a call if you have a need or if you'd just like to meet somebody that's really cool, calm, and collected, and very smart. So, Barbara Archer, thank you so much today for being here.
Thank
on
you,
Cocktails
Maureen.
And Conversation.
Appreciate it.
I'll buy the next drink, too. Okay?
All right. You're on.
Thank you very much.